Before we get into tonight's Sunday night recap of Big Brother 21, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for tonight's episode. And those are our friends over at Sharper Image, who bring you the Calm and Comfort Weighted Blanket. And this product is the perfect product for those of you who are watching a lot of the Big Brother live feeds this summer, because if you are suffering through any sleepless nights, you could try out the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket by Sharper Image. It's the luxurious weighted blanket that helps you relax so you can fall asleep and stay asleep naturally. The Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket is designed with high density comfort fill to provide exactly the right amount of weight to help you relax your body. It mimics the soothing feeling of being hugged for less stress and a restful night's sleep. And based on what I read on Twitter, so many of us could use this Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket right now. When you're under the blanket, you'll experience that great feeling of being hugged, cuddled, or swaddled, which is as soothing for adults as it is for children, and the exact opposite effect that you feel when you watch Big Brother live feeds. Calming Comfort applies an even amount of pressure over your body to help the production of serotonin and melatonin. It takes relaxation to the next level. So help reduce stress, reduce anxiety, and maximize your relaxation this summer. The Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to CalmingComfortBlanket.com. Use promo code ROB at checkout to receive $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's CalmingComfortBlanket.com. Promo code ROB. And because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go to online now to CalmingComfortBlanket.com. Use promo code ROB for your special discount today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who never, ever brunches too hard. I am Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our live coverage here on Sunday night, July 14th of our Big Brother 21 season. Thanks for being here with us to talk about a night where we got to learn Nick's nominations and another Wactivity power was dropped on the Big Brother house. And we'll talk about all the ramifications of that and cover everything from a newsy weekend on the live feeds and everything else going on here tonight. First, let's welcome, we have a special guest with us here tonight, a man who covers a Big Brother for Parade.com, our great friend, Mr. Mike Bloom.
So happy to be here for the first time in Big Brother 21, Rob. Let me wish you a happy 14th of July to you and yours.
Yes, yes. It's not exactly that Sis does know how to spell that, I think, do believe. So a lot
better with numbers than letters, to be fair.
Yes, yes. Of course, also a man who is getting hazard pay for his time covering the live feeds this season, Mr. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I can't wait to talk about hazard pay, Rob.
Yes, yes.
So I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. I think that we might have to talk about that. If we can prove that I was watching the live feed update the other day. I saw, wow, Taryn, they've actually brought emotions out of Taryn, which is a first. So it's what a group. All right. A lot to talk about here tonight here on Sunday night. We're going to take your questions. Hashtag RHAP. We'll talk about the episode and then get into some live feed stuff later on in this show. So let's get into it. Mike, we haven't talked to you during this season. What's been your reaction to Big Brother 21?
What a sad season of Big Brother.
Mm.
So sad. I know that we're bringing out emotions from a very different end of the spectrum, especially with this weekend's activities that I'm sure we're going to be talking about. But
activities.
Or activities, but it's been so forlorn to watch on so many different sides. It's been even more disheartening to watch the fan base react to it. I'm sure we're going to get into it. I feel like week three is when I don't know. For me, at least, BB this season is standing for broken brain, because I just feel like it's tough to like contextualize these people and the decisions they're making. And Modern Big Brother, sometimes the people that they cast make questionable decisions. I think they make bigger Big Brother blunders than even Cliff admitting to the Fellowship of the Zing, which apparently is the biggest offense in Big Brother history. So it's carved in the Elder Stone in Big Brother annals.
Yes.
But I just... I don't know. For once, I'm happy that we're going to have, you know, I think, Taryn, you tweeted this out earlier that, you know, I think we're 4 for 4 prospectively in terms of camp comeback people that you would be excited to see come back. And the mechanism of can't come back would ordinarily not allow us to go out the revolving door. But considering the people that are now involved in the house, they have particularly stymied the appeal of the camp comeback twist. So, you know what? Jack said at one point during his little grateful roundtable that he feels like this season is a Big Brother's dream. Kind of feels like Big Brother fans are in a nightmare right now. But that being said, I have all confidence that we are going to wake up and a few weeks from now and be able to truly, you know, discover what our reality is and be able to take in and smell the roses.
Okay, so Taryn, all roads lead to Thursday, where we will have our fourth eviction of the season, but also somebody will come back. Do you anticipate that we will see the competition to get back into the game take place on Thursday, or do you think it will be potentially a literal cliffhanger as instead of a Wactivity competition that this will play out on the show 1 week from tonight?
I think that we are going to see whatever it is happen on Thursday this week, because I think that, you know, somebody's coming back. And so to have the only thing happen be the eviction itself.
Well, you could have the HOH competition prior to, or it could be one of these things like the Big Brother 15 classic, where it's an HOH competition. It's like everybody's on the wall. And also the last person who remains on the wall ends up being the person who comes back. And they're also eligible for HOH.
Yes, that's what I would expect. I would expect something along those lines, or the HOH competition will be bumped by a separate competition for Camp Comeback. I think it's one or the other.
Okay.
Unless it's not a competition, maybe it's some kind of vote or whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's going to be replacing or being a part of the HOH.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe since Big Brother 18, we've always had and granted, it's been a small sample size, but I'm pretty sure we've always known who the person coming back was going into the Sunday episode. So that, I think to your point, Taryn, they go into that head of household competition and they have something to fill that out. This will also be our first Sunday episode a week from today without something to put in there. So I think it's understandable that they would have a competition in there in the form of the head of household competition. So if they do another like a can ball drop, like they did in Big Brother 20, whether it's a house vote, we're not entirely sure, but yeah, I agree. I think we're going to see one of the four come back, which means walk down the stairs if they're allowed to by this group. If they are allowed to vote on it, they'll walk into the house, and then Sunday we'll be able to face whatever may come in Big Brother 21.
So I know we've definitely seen it play out on the feeds, but if it's that kind of endurance competition, don't you think that that would play out in the Sunday night episode?
Yeah.
I think it'd just be a matter of like, we'll see, have a competition, see someone come back, and then they'll go into an endurance competition. You know, it just would be one of those ones that doesn't start at the end of the Thursday night show. It'll just be completely reserved for Sunday, which we've done before.
Okay.
I think the most cliffhanger we could get is if the camp comebackers were a part of the endurance competition.
Yeah,
and then it would finish later. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're eligible for HOH if they are the last person standing, but we'll get some more information. Mike, when you spoke with Allison Grodner recently, did you get any insight in terms of what type of thing they were thinking about in terms of getting somebody back in the house?
No, Allison and Rich Meehan were very negabella in that they kept their lips promptly shut when I asked them for prying details. They do know that they were coming back. They didn't know when they were coming back, which sort of has its own pros and cons, as we've seen bear out over the course of the game. But they do not know what. I think the big internet consensus is with all this talk about social game, it could be a house vote. And if that's the case, we're looking forward to seeing our man David come back into the house come Thursday, it seems, pretty much, considering the general reputation behind two people in camp comeback and presumably one person that's about to go there.
Okay, well, that's for looking ahead to Thursday. Let's talk about tonight, where we got into Nick's decision to ultimately put up Cliff and Jessica. Taryn, to me, this was almost like that when we go back and we talk about like the infamous Jessica Graf HOH, where she got Ramsey's out of the house on her HOH week when she had the opportunity to take a shot as one of the all-time worst HOHs. It feels like that Nick is punting here. It seems like he has almost every piece of information that he would need to make a decision. It seems like, well, I've got the veto. I've got the renomination as a backup. So why don't I'm just going to keep my powder dry until the veto ceremony.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense because he would not have the votes if he tried to do something with the veto. You know, not to you know, spoil the fact that he would not have the votes, but he would not have the votes if he's going against his major big alliance and they all stick together and he takes a shot at them. They have the votes to keep one person on the block next to either Cliff or Jess. So that's a bad move to begin with. Certainly, this has to go down as one of the all-time bad HOH reigns. I do think, and he has said multiple times, that if Camp Comeback was not in play, he would have made this shot. As it stood, he very nearly made the shot. But there were a couple of things that prevented him from doing it. One major one being Camp Comeback. Another one being the whole situation with Kemi really pushed him back into the arms of Grateful. Because people like Kemi and his relationships with those people were some of the reasons why he felt comfortable making a move against Grateful. But when he is being called out by Kemi and he's not sure where Nicole lies and now he doesn't know where Cliff lies, then he doesn't have as much space to move in a different direction if he wants to take some kind of shot.
And Tara, can I also ask in terms of that we've seen a lot of what Bella has done and said to people, but could we give Nick any credit in that he does not know about every conversation that Bella has had? And so in his mind, it might be a little bit like, yeah, why is everybody mad? Where is all this talk about all this double dealing coming from?
Certainly Bella has more information, and the problem with Nick is that he trusts Christy and Tommy far too much, as does Bella. And so they feel like they are in a group with Tommy and Christy that is separate from Jack and Jackson and Holly and
Sis. Flaming Five.
Exactly. They call themselves the Flaming Five. And so he feels like they are this comfortable group and that, and he's talking openly with Tommy and Christy about, okay, you know, we won't do it this week. We'll do it maybe next week or 2 weeks from now. That's when we'll take our shot at Jack. And so he feels like they already know. He doesn't feel like that's shady at all. That's just, he's very open about it. And he has no idea that these two are completely going behind his back and plan on stabbing it very soon.
Yeah, just to make sense of it, that he feels like, okay, well, the showmances of Jack and Sis and Jackson and Holly, they're against us, but doesn't really fully get that. You know, it's the entire six shooters are against him. So it's not this secret alliance of four that is the problem for him. It's really that there's a secret alliance of six that's working against him.
Right, to an extent. But the problem is he also trusts the showmances too much as well. He thinks that they'll take a shot eventually, maybe in a couple of weeks, but not before he takes. He's like, they're going to take their shot. Like 4 weeks. I'm going to take my shot in like two weeks.
Yeah.
And so he feels like he's going to be one step ahead. And he feels like with this move to keep Jack off the block, that's going to prove to Jack that he's trustworthy and that he shouldn't, that Jack shouldn't take the shot next week, which is very, very foolhardy given the fact that he understands that the only reason he's not taking a shot right now is because of Camp Comeback. Camp Comeback ends this week. And so why not? Why isn't that the perfect opportunity to now take the shot at Nick once it's over?
Mike, it was especially frustrating where we saw towards the end of the episode where Sam and Nick and Bella were talking things through. And Sam was talking about like, why don't we take a shot? Why don't we make this move right now? And he made some good points.
I don't know how this man with a ridiculous voice became the voice of reason in the Big Brother house, yeah. But this is like the state we're in Big Brother 21, that it's like, all right, we need to find some sort of voice of sanity. Turn to me! I know exactly what's going on!
Come on!
I drive truck. I know things. I mean, I think the Sam edit particularly is extremely interesting. There's a lot of talk that's been bandied about, and especially when we get to the live feed stuff, as to how things are going to be portrayed and specifically who is going to be portrayed. I feel like this episode and, you know, his couple of veto wins have really laid some road, if you will, for the Sam Smith for AFP truck to promptly start driving down there, because it does seem that even though he's in the nine, he's the one that's really being edited to say, like, wait a minute, we're getting snowed
Hold
here.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very interesting compared to especially Nick and Bella, who are going to have an entirely, you know, different week to talk about. But they seem like they're big, completely in the dark, whereas Sam is the voice of reason.
That's what it seems like on the show. Yeah. And that's what I was hoping watching the feeds. But unfortunately, in this conversation, he kind of is like, why don't we? You're right. It's not a good idea. We should appease Jack. We should. He'll trust us if we do this.
Mm hmm. I really would love to interview somebody who's just watching the show, and I'd love to get their take on everything that's going on in terms of, like, who are they getting good feelings from and bad feelings from? Because I was watching the show tonight, Taryn, and I was trying to figure out, like, who is the show want us to root for at this point? And I really don't know if I could identify who that person is.
I will say I could be wrong about this. I do feel like this episode was a setup for the following events, where Nicole is our hero, our truth telling hero, who is telling people the truth, and we'll see where that gets her.
Yeah, I just don't know if she's had too many. Like, she's had a couple of awkward moments on the show, but in terms of like a TV show character, I think that she has not really had a breakout yet.
Well, yeah, because you have to look at her role in the past couple
maybe
weeks.
Maybe it's coming.
Yeah, well, I think that her role in the house, though, has been very much like behind the scenes, especially when bigger targets have amassed and people have risen to power as well. I would also say, I think, you know, Kat is not necessarily getting a golden edit. I think maybe she's getting a diamondy edit, if you will, where like she's not being edited in a negative way. And I mean, being wacky, it worked for Crazy James. It worked for James Hewling, and maybe it'll work for somebody not named James.
Yeah. I do think that Kat is getting an edit where she's going to be, you know, she's getting put over pretty hard by the Big Brother editors. I think that she is probably one of the bigger fan favorites based on people that would be watching the TV show, but not to go too far into this conversation. So we started this episode tonight, Tara. We saw the confrontation between Kemi and Bella. Now, was this all on the feeds, Taryn? Did we know exactly how this played out?
Yes. Now, there was apparently a part two to this that were not that was not on the feeds, and that was not, also not on the episode. So, but we did see this part on the feeds.
Okay. Was this cleaned up, or was this about how it went down on the feeds, Taryn?
It's about how it happened, I think. You know, they even got a little bit of that sort of blustery attitude that that Bella had beforehand and after, and they got the interaction right. You know, Kemi walked up to her, Bella put her arm on Kemi. Kemi then did the like twisty thing, and then Sam intervened. So it's about how it went.
Yeah, because I didn't think that this was that big of a deal when I first heard about, oh, big fight from the feeds, that I thought that this was maybe my expectations were off. Mike, did you think that this was a big deal?
I mean, I think this was the first major confrontation we had had in the house. Little we knew until the events transpired that we'll get into. But I mean, I think getting like nose to nose for a hot second, you know, it's shades of Clay and the aforementioned James during Big Brother 17. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this Bella, I am speechless with every single decision she makes. It's crazy. I feel like when it comes to players on these competitive reality shows, there are people who exercise bad gameplay and there are people who exercise bad behavior. And I think there are, you know, say what you want to about Fessy's an absolute sweetheart, not the best game player. Derek Levasseur did some not so nice things. Really good player. Bella is one of the very rare reality TV characters who's able to fill both in the Venn diagram. Where
I feel like it's not that short of a list.
I mean, I think it's maybe it's getting longer, but honestly, just between the way that she handled this, coupled with the fact that, you know, she is the one admirably spreading any piece of information that comes in one ear and out the other, just absolutely confounds me. I'm so intrigued to get to talk to her eventually for my exit interview for a myriad of reasons. One of them is to just see.
She'll be a good interview. She'll tell you everything.
Yeah, exactly. I'll learn everything and then some.
Won't let you talk though.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that's really interesting about this conversation is that, and we'll see it develop in some conversations throughout the weekend. Bella loves to have the last word. And that's where we have this really sort of weak ass playoff when, you know, Kemi says something, she goes to the DR and Bella's like, she comes after her and Kemi comes like, where were you coming after me? She's like, no, I was going to the kitchen. So there, and then walks away, which is just, I don't know. It's a weak back down to say that you just happened to be in my path as I was going to do another activity. Take it as me trying to confront you.
Yeah, I also liked, she said something along the lines like, oh, you know, go hang out with your only two friends in the camp comeback. Oh, but wait, you have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like that's like mom levels of like, oh, well, you're in timeout. So that
Darren, when Kemi goes to open the room to the walkway to the diary room and it won't open, is there somebody in there or is production like, this is pretty good feeds right now. We're getting good stuff. You can't come in yet. We're not ready for you.
It would not surprise me if they called her to the diary room, hoping that she would overhear some of what Bella was saying. And then, it is pretty regular that when they press the button, it takes a little while for the door to open. But I guarantee that they were intentionally not opening this door when they saw what was happening.
It's like, no,
they just want to catch Bella putting on another shade of blue eyeliner, ready to take on the evening, because that's when Kemi is riled up the most.
Yeah, Kemi had a good dig on Bella with the blue eyeshadow. Doesn't like it. This is the Big Brother house, not the club.
To be fair, some people are certainly behaving like they're at the club in the Big Brother house. I can see why the lines are a bit blurred this season.
Okay. Let's talk about the rogue vote. Rogue vote turned out to be a big topic of conversation. The Hinky vote and Jackson, a.k.a. Mickey Mike, really trying to plant the Mickey seed.
Yeah, I love how you say that it's a topic of conversation when it's only brought up by one person.
Yes.
Like, Mickey, stop trying to make the rogue vote happen, because we see what inevitably happened here, which, again, resulted in some inaction. But I mean, in another week, maybe 2 weeks down the line, if Nick was in this situation, he could have very easily been like, why do you keep mentioning this? Mm-hmm. We are past this at this point, but you're stuck at the rogue vote station. This train has gone way past it at this point. Why do you keep bringing this up?
Taryn, the one thing that Nick has actually had a good read on this whole season is that even he is able to identify, boy, Jackson is really talking about this vote a lot and keeps bringing it up.
Yeah, what Nick said was, Jackson has never talked game with me before, and he just came up to me and said, hey, Nicole was the rogue vote. So he managed to figure that one out. Congrats, Nick.
Yeah, I liked when he was trying to talk about his reasons, and he was saying like a, Nicole's acting like she's acting real. She's being like real straight shooter. She's being real upfront about it. So makes me think that maybe it was her. Like what? He's like, but she's acting normal, but she's also acting kind of weird. So
he also had some great lines like, I'm freaking out about this. It's like a really big deal, but it's totally not. It's totally irrelevant, but it's like a really a big deal that I'm freaking out about, but it's totally not even a big deal.
And he had a great, I mean, this is a really interesting episode of revealing powers or withholding powers from certain people. And so when he got to reveal his power to Jack, and Jack responded with the nice epitaph of calling him a sick bitch and then promptly fist bumping him. So I don't know. I think, Rob, when you and I do a great podcast down the line, we'll just call each other sick bitches as soon as we hop off the mic.
I could live with that. I could. That'd be good. All right. Let's talk about the Wactivity competition. Taryn, are you happy that the Wactivity competition portion of the season has mercilessly come to an end?
Yeah, obviously I have issues with the powers, with the name and everything else, but even just in terms of just how much time these competitions are eating, this is a good almost half of the episode, maybe at least a third of the episode. And it's just a very, very lengthy explanation. We see every single person go through the competition, and Sis is going to explain the entire puzzle, like the person that came up with it was so proud of themselves. They were so clever in their clues that they wanted to make sure that every single one was explained in minute detail for us viewers at home to understand how great a job they did. It's too much. It's too long.
Yeah. It was an odd choice to have Sis really take us through each clue one by one.
Yeah, you could kind of tell why she didn't get many DRs up to this point, right? I feel bad for saying it, but it seemed like she was being held hostage and reading off a card like, I saw the moon and that meant night, so I guess I chose night. I will say, I'm very happy that Mr. Announcer Guy has, since we've gotten grateful, explained to us for the umpteenth time, I'm very glad he's at least done with Sis and on to Annalise, because I know people have their sticking points with Mickey, but I am much more offended by Sis than I am by Mickey.
You don't like Sis.
I'm not related to you. I'm not going to call you Sis. It's like if I walked into the house and I'm like, hey guys, my name is Michael, but if you want to call me bro, that'd be great.
You should do that.
It's so strange. And also, I don't want to watch my sister bump uglies with a guy that comes out of looks like he came out of a male enhancement drug commercial in the shower. You know, like, I don't want to think about that with my family members. So, like, Sis, if she's anything, she's an estranged Sis. And she has a beautiful name. Though I think apparently tonight, maybe one of the reasons why she shortened it is because she might not know how to spell Annalise.
Perhaps. Taryn, do we know the origin story for Sis? What is it? Why is she Sis?
I think the origin story is that her siblings had trouble saying her name, so they just called to her Sis.
Okay. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, is what we're saying. Okay, so we have Madagascar cockroaches. Mike, are you a fan of the movie Madagascar?
Well, I will say, nobody decided to play I Like to Move It. I think that was the key to really getting those cockroaches.
Yeah, that was the theme. You have to move them out of the way.
Yeah, though Nick brought up that apparently they're flown in straight from Madagascar. So I'm glad that Big Brother has not skimped on the budget when it comes to their international bastion of animals this season. You know,
Taryn, with all the problems that Big Brother has had so far this season, isn't it a minor miracle that PETA hasn't gotten involved with any of these Wacktivity competitions to this point?
I mean, I guess so. You know, they really need to stick up for cockroach rights. I feel like that's a big hot topic of 2019. And so I'm very surprised that they went with this.
I know that we had a Big Brother 20 people host all these veto competitions. Did we miss an opportunity for Gina Marie to make a return to the house? Or do they not want to bring in yet another person that Tommy knows to staff the deck?
Staten Island, yeah. Yeah. So this was real gross. We had to move around these hissing cockroaches. Mike, how do you feel? Would you rather move one giant cockroach, or are you, we'd rather move a million cockroaches? Are you comfortable with your current relationship with cockroaches?
Since I moved out of New York, I'd say my relationship with cockroaches is strained. They are my estranged sisses, I suppose, and bros. I honestly thought, and we can definitely get into like power ranking, I guess, these Wacktivity competitions, one of Taryn's worst nightmares, I'm assuming, when it comes to podcasting. This one was kind of lame. Like, I understand putting in like the cockroaches that we certainly had their freakouts, but to have them just lie on top of a rebus puzzle that you would see on the back of a box of animal crackers, it feels like between like the snakes and the smells, it feels like those two competitions people had much more to do. This one seemed harder. Maybe it was just the people that were playing in the competition that made it look harder. But I would say that like I wanted something more complicated to this, you know?
I didn't mind this. I feel like at least there was a puzzle element to it. Taryn, did you? Which of the Wacktivity competitions did you like? None.
Honestly, I guess the first one was probably the most visually appealing, but even that, they're just like the animal stuff is somewhat engaging when you watch it, but like the competitions themselves were not very interesting. It's not interesting to watch somebody we are essentially watching somebody flipping through their puzzle book and going, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
only there's cockroaches on it. Like, the cockroaches are not enough to make that exciting. I'm sorry. We need something else.
Yeah. So we got to see a little bit of like each of the people going through it, sort of like their Rorschach test of like looking at things and trying to figure out what they look like. One of the weirder ones were from Christy as she looked at the meat and tried to figure out what was going on.
What the hell is this? It's on a plate. It looks like a biscuit. Is it a Cinnabon? Is it a piece of steak?
First of all, Taryn, at least you got another shout out from a Big Brother 21 contestant for biscuit. Yeah,
should we be calling him Meat Boy from now on?
No. Biscuit is fine. Mike, remind me never to go to any of the Staten Island Cinnabon locations.
Yeah, so you know, there is Cinnabon located out of a slaughterhouse. Nothing to see here. I also love the phrase, what, like, don't biscuit Julie on eviction night? Is that what Christy thought the initial phrase was?
Yeah.
Don't pork, Julie. That's what Nick was saying.
Easy, Nick.
I'm just imagining Christy at a restaurant. She's ordered a nice fancy steak and it comes. What is this Cinnabon doing here? Get this. What is this? Come on.
I have a higher power. You should be serving to me.
I manifested a steak. Okay. For my guns.
Where's my tea? I can't find my tea.
Biscuit or Cinnabon?
What the hell is this? It's on a plate. It looks like a biscuit. Is it a Cinnabon? Is it a piece of steak?
Is it a Cinnabon? Is it steak? What is it? Come on. No. All right.
And she won that. Just to make clear, in terms of the clientele of competition, the person who thought one of the pictures was a carb instead of a piece of meat won the competition.
Pretty sure she was the only one that finished it. I like they talked about it in the house. We know Sis and Nick both did not finish it. Jess went back and forth between I didn't to no, I did to no, I didn't. And they didn't show anybody else ring the buzzer correctly. So in my mind, I'm pretty sure that none of them finished it. They all timed out at 30 minutes.
All right, so Christy gets the power. Now, Taryn, I know that there was reports of what the power was, and then tonight it turned out that the power was less powerful than was originally reported. So are you at all relieved tonight that Christy has a less powerful power than initially thought?
I am definitely relieved. We initially, when we heard that it was the diamond power of veto, I think everyone remembers Matt Hoffman. He had a physical diamond power of veto that he still owns to this day. Mm-hmm. And he famously used it with the best intentions in mind. He made a big power move. I'm sorry, Matt, and took out Chris. took out Kathy, you know, and it was a big move, but this is not that. This is not that. Yeah. That would have been very, very powerful if Christy just held a veto that she could use at any time that she wanted in the next 4 weeks. This is not that veto. And there still is, I was trying to explain this on Twitter, and there's a lot of confusion about this. So I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. Christy has the power to upgrade the existing power of veto, the golden power of veto, and turn it into a diamond power of veto. So the winner of the regular golden power of veto, if Christy uses the power, the winner of that veto will now own the actual diamond power of veto. And that person, the person that won the veto in the competition, will now have the ability to replace the person that they take off of the block instead of the HOH. Christy does not have the power to make the replacement unless she is the one that won the veto herself.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, also, only 4 weeks.
Yes.
And also it's being done anonymously, like what the other powers are supposed to be. So she's going to go into the DR and say, okay, we're going to activate this power at the veto ceremony.
Yes. And that's why it makes sense that it's anonymous, because she's not actually making the decision. She's just flipping the switch to turn the golden one into a diamond one. So obviously the move here is that if she doesn't have the veto, but one of her allies wins it, she can say, hey, I'm going to turn this into a diamond, and here's who we should put up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's going to be weird in terms of the logistics of this. You would think that she would have to collude with the person who was going to be using the veto and let them know. But in terms of like what the house guests will see when that happens, like will the monitors flash and then we'll see diamond power veto. And then somebody will just say that this veto has been turned into a diamond power veto and I can use it and I will make my own replacement nominee.
I bet they have some. I mean, I know that they, for the nightmare power, planned on waking everyone up in the middle of the night with some kind of alert. I assume they have some kind of similar alert for, oh, it's panic. It's panic time. Get ready to panic. Let's get ready for a panic. they're really like reusing things. So I think they'll do something like that, and then I don't know, they'll bring out a diamond tower veto. Maybe the squirrel will bring it out.
Rocky the squirrel. Wow, who knew CBS had the intellectual property behind Rocky and bowling?
it might be on All Access, Mike. You don't know.
There might be a time if they bring back Rocky and Bullwinkle, that'll be the next veto competition. It's an opportunity to watch a screening of that.
Yeah. Chrissy's going to tell Tommy about this, and then we're going to see Jack come in, and then Jack is also going to tell Tommy. Mike, so Tommy knows where the bodies are buried with these powers.
I mean, Tommy really vocalized, and you know, I think he's been, his position in the house, he's another person sort of like Nicole, who has not necessarily been at the forefront when it comes to winning competitions or being involved in drama. So I think his involvement in the feats has been very understated on the show. But I think in that confessional, he really encapsulated why you guys have been commending him so well on the updates throughout the past weeks, is that he's like, I have the benefit of all my allies having powers without me being directly targeted for it. And that's the optimal position that you want to be in over the course of this alliance, coupled with the fact that he is so connected with each and every person in that supermajority alliance. And I think that the little we saw of Tommy is actually a great sort of representative of where his place is in the game and how it looked really good for him moving forward.
Okay, so we also got to see Kemi eventually tell Nicole about the group knows about Cliff and the Alliance of Zing. And we finally got to see Nicole talk to Cliff about it. Taryn, I was very surprised that, you know, Cliff, you know, admits, boy, this was a major blunder, but he will not be deterred from talking to the cameras.
Look, just because he made the biggest blunder in Big Brother history doesn't mean that he is going to let that get him down. He is dedicated to fulfilling his obligations as a live feeder on the show, and he is still going to give us Cliff Notes, and I love him for it.
Taryn, will you open up a spot for Cliff in the live feed update rotation if and when he leaves the house on Thursday?
Yes, Cliff can join me on the Big Brother 21 live feed updates, as can David. I also issued that invitation to David.
Okay. Why? Because they have a good read on the house. So no, are Ovi and Kemi, are you opening up positions for them also?
Are you locking Ovi out of the live feed updates, Taryn?
No, look, I love all of our pre-jury evictees. I really, really do. But they're going to need to audition like everyone else. I've already seen Cliff's audition. I've already seen David's audition in his diary rooms. I'm going to need to see Ovi and Kemi's auditions. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, this is Cliff on the live feed update. Taryn, yesterday, I woke up. I made some coffee. That's some good, strong coffee. And then I read the newspaper for a little bit.
I would love that if Cliff misinterpreted to mean like, okay, you want to hear about my life? Well, looked at the stock market, went to work for a little bit. Thank you for asking.
My favorite is that Cliff would sign out of every podcast by saying, now make sure to hug your families and we'll see you next time.
I'm here for Cliff on NPR personally. Like, I'd say, let's just skip the LFC. Let's just put him on to like any sort of like, I don't know, Cliff Notes of just him talking like through the major events of the day.
Taryn, is it possible if Sam somehow ends up being a pre-jury evictee, would you allow him to be on the live feed updates?
He would have to go through a very rigorous auditioning process. He would have to prove that he can do more than just drive truck, and that he can actually recap some events with enthusiasm, because I'm worried about his level of
enthusiasm. Okay. All right. So we saw Cliff making his pitch. He could be a pawn. We saw some talk about Cat. Never brunch too hard. Mike, were you following about what is Cat's fascination with brunch?
I'm not entirely sure. I am surprised that of all like the Cat-isms, we didn't get the iced coffee bit, which is particularly probably my favorite. We got like the Alliance of One. We got the You Can't Brunch Too Hard. We had her calling macaroni Mussolini, and her hoping that she's in the house for January, which she might have unintentionally revealed Big Brother over the top too, if that's the case, if she takes the Jason spot. But yeah, I'm not particularly sure about her affiliation with brunch and why Holly is so stuck on that in particular.
Kat has a lot of things. Like catchphrases and like things that she really enjoys, and so that got me thinking about another past house guest, and I'm wondering how we're gonna feel when Kat returns to the show next year to get second place for the second time in a row, and then we start getting tired of the conspiring against me line, whereas previously we were enjoying it.
So are you saying that the first competition of Big Brother 22 will be Kat's brunch, and then you either get an invitation to brunch or you don't?
Yes. And then she chooses who is and who is not conspiring against her.
Yeah.
Yes. And half the house is not conspiring against her. Half the house is conspiring against her.
And then she's going to gather a group of people together. She's going to find two people and she's going to say, they're like dictators. They're like macaroni. We're going to need to take them down, trigger them.
So then we saw one other bit of gameplay where Nicole ends up talking to Nick and Bella pre-nominations, and she ends up talking about how people like Sis and Christy were calling Nick and Bella bullies, and really ends up putting herself out there, Taryn, and gives Nick and Bella a lot to think about. I don't know what Nick and Bella needed to hear.
I think what they needed to hear was for Nicole to say, all right, guys, it turns out Camp Comeback was a big prank that Julie was playing on us. It actually exist. They're not coming back into the game. You're free to take your shot, and they're also coming after you. I think that would have been the right one.
Yeah. All right. We get to our nominations, and Cliff and Jessica are the nominees. Jessica is the one person Mike, when your podcast co-host AJ Mass talks about the 13 archetypes, Jessica is the one person, even when we go through all the people in the house, she will be the last person that anybody names when they list all the Big Brother 21 house guests.
Yeah, I think we have unfortunately found our Victoria-esque pawn of the season.
Oh my
God. It's starting to look like, I think it's just, I mean, Nick gave his reasoning. I think he said later on the feeds it was like a bitch ass move, but he essentially said, I'm nominating you guys because you've been nominated before, which is like a very candid way to say that. Like, try to cloud it a little bit and not just outright say, yeah, you know what? I kind of regret winning HOH right now, and I don't want blood on my hands. So you've already done it before, and so you're the only ones that can be mad at me. You would think that Nick would show a little more tact there, but for what it's worth, like you said, Jess is certainly like, yep, same old, same old. And Cliff agreed to be a pawn, which I'm still questioning a little bit. So it seemed like he actually got off pretty well here with these initial knobs.
Yeah, I think he might have sussed out that, hey, I'm going on the block anyway, and I might as well go on the block looking like I'm a team player as opposed to kicking and screaming and looking like that I am, not necessarily working with you.
Yeah, that's essentially what he said in his Cliff notes. He did feel like Nick was being truthful and that Jess was the target over himself. And so and that he was going to be the pawn anyway. So he might as well just continue to be like, hey, I'm on your team. And ultimately, as Nick would tell us later, it wouldn't have mattered what he said. He would have still put Cliff on the block, and Cliff would still be his target at this point. So, ultimately, it's one of those situations where it's like, what do you do? Well, there wasn't much he could do anyway.
Okay. Right. So he knew he was going to get into a car accident on this day and this time. And he like bought an extra airbag to be like, well, I know what's happening. So I might as well try to keep myself as safe as possible.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So let's take a couple of questions and then we'll get into the live feed stuff. This is a question from Taylor, who says, how do we think that the game would be different so far if there was no Camp BB people there to talk about what has been going on? Tyron, when we saw that confrontation between Kemi and Bella, I do feel like that's like what the producers dreamt of when they came up with the idea for Camp Comeback. They're like, oh, somebody will get evicted and then they'll be able to fight with the people still in the house after the eviction.
Yeah, I'm sure they saw that and they were like, look, we're geniuses. It worked. We get fights all the time in Big Brother. It happens all the time. And this has been the only fight of the season so far. And as Rob, you pointed out, this is no headbutt scenario. No. This is very light, fair compared to most fights that happen in Big Brother.
Yeah. Kind of a snoozer for a fight, but what are you going to do? But I'm sure they were like, ha ha. Oh, mission accomplished. We got
what we usually get, but with much worse methods.
Right. Right. Okay. Mindy says, who do you think has the most influence in the house right now? Mike, do you have a pick on this?
I mean, I think it's got to go to the duo of Christy and Tommy, who have become a little power trippy with the fact that now they literally have powers in their hands, which is not the best look, but I can't deny the fact that they are, you know, in the constant Venn diagrams that Jack has created with all of his various names and numbers with this big alliance. Tommy and Christy are pretty much at the center of each and every one of them. And the fact that they're also very much tied to each other, as opposed to all these Midsummer Night's Dream-esque lovers that keep coming together and diverting, makes it feel like they're the strongest pair in the game, linked in the best part of the game in general.
Tara, let me ask you about Christy. Do you think that she is underrated or overrated as a player in the game of her own merit, separately from Tommy?
Like by the audience?
No, by the overall. Guests. Yeah. But people that are, you know, people like yourself that follow this stuff very closely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we'll find out tomorrow on the roundtable how we all feel about her, and we'll get a number and we'll see how good that is. But I think in general, I think it's pretty even. I think it's pretty on point. I think she from my perspective, she is the person with the most amount of influence in the house, the most amount of power in the house. And Tommy is the person who is in the best spot in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a very different thing there. So I think she's much more vulnerable than Tommy. And I think her longevity in the game is a lot more up in the air, but she does have a lot of control. She is running this house like Polly ran the house in Big Brother 18 for a while. You know what I mean? Like she is doing very, very well right now. The longevity is the question, and I think that's why there's a little bit of tempered expectations.
Okay. Can't wait for Christy to go to Outback and order a nice big juicy biscuit.
Exactly.
Can I also ask, and this might be like a weird comparison, but I was thinking about it, especially with the way Christy, I totally agree with the positional stuff, but in terms of behaviorally, maybe I'm distracted by the fact that they both have a similar hair color and they have similar letters in their name. What do you think about a comparison between Christy and Christmas in terms of the way that they behave in the house?
Christmas was a lot more of a follower, in my opinion. I think Christy Christy is the opposite of a follower. She even when she wants to, like when she was HOH and she wanted to do what the house wanted to do, she was ordering the house to tell her what to do so that she would do it. I just can't see Christy ever, you know, being that person that is just like, yeah, Paul, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do one more question, then we'll do live beat stuff. Sycophant wants to know, since the Diamond Power Veto is making a comeback, could you give a little history on it and how many times it has been on the show, or how many times on the show has used it before? Was it always up to the veto winner to choose the replacement nomination? We talked about the powers for this season. Tyron, has the Diamond Power Veto ever popped up again since Big Brother 12?
Not since Big Brother 12. The first instance of it was Big Brother 4.
It was the final four veto, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that was the final four. And so the ramifications of it were a lot different. And that was another one where it was the veto for that week was one that you won, and it was a diamond veto. I think they were experimenting with what the final four veto meant at that point. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite the same as what we saw in Big Brother 12, which was, that... Again, Matt had a veto that was separate and he could use it. I don't remember how long he had to use it. I think it was 2 weeks. And he could use it there. But this one is, again, a little bit different. I actually do like this one where I like it better than the Matt Hoffman version because it is more balanced. And I do like how they balanced it. I do think that they thought this one through a little bit more. I think that, unfortunately, in combination with a lot of the other twists, including Camp Comeback, it is still adding to the pile and really making this a top-heavy season. But I do like what the twist that they've put on this particular twist.
And I'm trying to remember in Celebrity Big Brother 1 when we had the choice to vote between those three veto options. I was trying to remember. I don't think any of them were diamond.
No, I think it was. I was trying to remember. I feel like I had like some sort of a memory of that there being like some sort of America's Choice where we could vote on a veto, but I couldn't remember what season it was. So yeah, that makes sense. Celebrity Big Brother.
We had a choice of three different vetoes. There were some weird ones in there. Last season, one of the power apps was the upgrade power. And I'm wondering if this was that power, upgrading a veto to, we speculated about that.
Okay. All right. The power apps return. Okay. All right. So we are going to talk about a little bit of the live feed action from over the weekend. So a lot to discuss with Taryn and Mike. Real quick, let me just tell you, if you're leaving us now, we've got the Amazing Race Canada. Mike, are you following Amazing Race Canada?
I am. And I think that, people were tuning in for our coverage of Amazing Race 31, which was a really great season. If you're looking for something else to sort of scratch that Amazing Race itch, move north or tune into our northern coverage. I would say that the first two episodes so far have been really interesting. There's been some really interesting teams and a lot of shuffling around. So if you're into that exciting Amazing Race chaos, be sure to tune in. And Jessica and Dan have been doing a really great job with the podcast as well.
No doubt. American Ninja Warrior, Taryn is the coverage of episodes 5 and 6 as well.
Yes. We have a lot of fun there. I was caffeinated for that episode.
That's good. Are you the one? Season 8, episode 3. Rick Devins is joining Mike and Shannon as well in Survivor South Africa. So that we'll just give you a little taste of what's coming up, and then I'll do more plugs later on in the show. All right. So ready for some live feeds? Okay. Let's do it. Okay.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Okay. All right. So Taryn has been covering the live feeds, not only all season long, but all weekend long. So I don't know if we need a full rehash of the blow by blow of the horror show from the live feeds. But Taryn, could you just give us a couple of the biggest headlines for people that did not follow the live feeds over the weekend, but are catching up now?
Yes. So what we saw at the end of this episode where Nicole approached Bella and Nick about the fact that the rest of Grateful were targeting them, that is all going to blow up immediately following the nomination ceremony, where Bella is going to get to talking with Tommy about what Nicole told her. And Tommy, of course, is going to be like, what? We were never doing that. Nicole told us that you were talking about targeting us. And things spiraled from there. And Nicole got into a whole heap of trouble here.
Yeah, this really turned very, very bad for Nicole, as a lot of people were going full Mickey and trying to throw Nicole under the bus for stuff that they did, Mike.
Yeah, Mickey's like, oh, it finally came around.
Yeah.
The rogue vote. I was the mastermind behind all this. Oh, my God. This was despicable to watch. I mean, this was really, really bad. And it's weird to say, and I know people sometimes challenge this idea of Big Brother being a social experiment. And this is sort of like, this is a social experiment, but this is like showing the bad yes. side.
Prison experiment of sorts.
Yes.
It really is.
People have been talking about it, especially considering the fact that there is a like subclass of people in the house you're not allowed to talk to about certain things, that wear uniforms and sleep in a bad room.
It really lines up. It really, not
yeah, so I mean, you had Grateful plus Sam. They all came together and started comparing notes. And Taryn, you did a great job of pointing out the fact that like they were essentially comparing notes to sort of wash each other of their sins. Of like, wait a minute, we weren't targeting against you, even though we were. It was Nicole. Nicole's the evil behind all this. We must burn the witch to the point where they are jumping up and down. They are screaming. Jack is Rupert roaring like he won the Heisman Trophy, even though he might have gotten the Heisman Trophy earlier on in the season.
Easy.
I think that, you know, watching that crazy group activity was one thing. But what really did it for me was, you know, the way they specifically treated the others. Specifically, the first thing they started with was slamming the door in Nicole's face. The second thing that they did was poor Ovi decides to go up there and really try to call them out on their stuff. And Nick barks at him and they just chastise him and say, this is none of your business. You're not even in the game. Get out of here, loser. It's just, you know, Big Brother, they constantly tout this idea of the social game. And I feel like, unfortunately, the big alliances that have been brewing out of the early game in a lot of these recent seasons have really touted this idea of almost an antisocial game. You know, that like now the early game of Big Brother, for better or for worse, is pick your people that you're going to align with on day three, stick with them, and completely ostracize and demonize everybody else. And I know, Taryn, you made a Big Brother 6 reference that, you know, the Friendship and the Sovereign 6 definitely had disregard for each other. This feels a little different because at least they sort of regarded each other as equals. They didn't agree with each other, but they regarded each other as equals. Grateful plus Sam, benign or denial or whatever they want to call themselves, they just think that everyone is below them, which is just, it's really, really, I can understand how the house made them feel that way, especially since they've come into power so much, but it's just, it's really tough to watch.
Yeah, I think that the major difference between Big Brother 6 and this current season, the reason why they feel so superior and it's one massive alliance, is that the reason why it's been happening in recent seasons is that these twists are encouraging these big groups to get together and stick together for a long period of time. And it allows majorities to have a much greater advantage over the minority of people in the house. And that's why in Big Brother 6, they kind of saw each other as equals, because in the game, they were on equal footing. But in the Big Brother 21 game, the people that are in the big majority are at a much greater advantage than the people who are down at the bottom, because of all the twists that give them additional powers and additional incentives to stick together and hold their power. And so I think that it's not a coincidence that ever since Big Brother 15, when they introduced the MVP twist, that we've seen this happen over and over with the various different early game massive twists that they've been introducing to mess with the formula.
Okay, so we've established lots of not so great people here in the Big Brother 21 house. But moving forward from that, Taryn, we had our veto competition over the weekend, and a familiar face showed up on the veto competition. Taryn, who did we see on the veto?
The clouds. The heavens opened up.
Yes.
And love and light shined down upon us, Rob. Yes. Caitlin Herman.
Woo!
Very excited. So that will be on Wednesday night's episode. And then Caitlin will be here on Thursday to tell us about her experience in the Big Brother house. And who went on to win the Caitlin veto?
Catherine won the game.
Okay. Oh boy. Guess the brunch veto confirmed.
Yes. Okay. So Kat with the veto, is it a foregone conclusion that she'll save Jess?
Yes. But also it should be pointed out that the veto competition was a puzzle.
Yeah. Fun.
It's a puzzle where you put together a person that Caitlin hosted.
I'm considering how some people did on this competition. I'll see of the six people how many people actually end up finishing that puzzle and if they are able to beat Caitlin's time of not finishing.
Okay. All right. So let's just talk about the ramifications of all of this. So, all right. Jess is going to come down. What is Nick planning at this point for the replacement nominee?
Nick is planning to nominate Nicole to send her home. Now, the reason for that is everything that we talked about, where Nicole was essentially the messenger, and it was a classic case of shoot the messenger and then get a bunch of your friends and then shoot them some more when they're dead and then jump and dance on the body and then shoot them some more and then jump and dance and then backdoor them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And jokes and so on that's what's happening. Nick and Bella as that everybody else is just turning her into this scapegoat to continue to pull the wool over these two idiots, Nick and Bella.
Yes, because the friends that he invited are shooting Nicole right now. But as soon as Nick drops his gun, they're going to shoot him. And this is a very Jack kind of metaphor here because there's lots of death involved. But yes, everybody else in Grateful has essentially come to the conclusion. Nicole went on a sort of explain myself spree. And so the rest of Grateful are like, Nicole's probably telling the truth here. We're still going after Nick and Bella. You know, they're trying to pin it on Nicole, but we know what's happening. So as soon as Nick is not in power, we're going to take him out next week.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So Taryn, in terms of the vote, then if it is Nicole versus Cliff, then who's the likely person to go home?
So right now, the six shooters, I should say, are telling Nick that they're willing to respect his wishes, that he wants Nicole to go home. And so if Kat uses the veto on Jess, Nicole will go up and then they're going to say, all right, we're all going to send Nicole home. But secretly, they plan on not evicting Nicole. And instead, they will be evicting Cliff because, as Christy says, Cliff is definitely going to win a tactile hand strategy puzzle competition that is always the double eviction HOH. And also he's friends with Ovi and Ovi has a power. So if Ovi comes back in, he'll be with Cliff with a power. So we don't want that. And he said my name. And right. Nicole is going after Nick and Bella. So that's great.
Okay. All right. Mike, how do you feel about who we're going to potentially lose?
I mean, it's tough because, like, on the one hand, I love Cliff. He's like a dear, dear person. And to lose him, especially for the reasons I know Mr. Announcer Man's trying to build up, this is the biggest blunder in Big Brother history. I think we can name at least 10 right now that are way bigger. Yeah. Or even this season.
Nick's like, HOH.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, I think the history books would speak differently about it. But at the same time, man, did Nicole, like, God, I'm just from a cathartic place. The way she read Bella for filth just made my freaking day. It was, I just love it that the fact that she was so brazen about it, because I think that, you know, she tried to do the things that you would do when you're playing this game of tact of like, okay, I'm going to apologize, even though I shouldn't apologize. She apologized. Bella responds with, okay, I'm glad you apologized, but you should apologize more to me because you understand you really did hurt me. And, you know, even Nicole admits I might have shot myself in the foot with this, but I'm glad from just our perspective that she was upfront and really tore into Bella, deservedly so, for the things that she was saying about her and accusing her of, you know, lying for her, you know, lying on her grandma when her grandma's dead. Though I would say of all this, I'm probably the most disappointed in Nick. Most of all. And look, I'm not one to condone going after people's employment or, you know, trying to get people fired from their jobs. People behave in a very different environment in the Big Brother house than they do outside of the real world. But I will say, as a mental health professional, someone who came into the house saying, you know, hey, if you need help, make sure you reach out, to have him accuse someone of fabricating anxiety as a game move is just, it's beyond words. It is utterly offensive to me. And my hope is that that does not reflect on Nick's career outside of it, but it really stung extra hard when I watched that, to see someone who comes from that place do that, you know, throw around the word sociopath. It's just, it really hurts coming from someone who knows the weight of those words and the weight of those actions, but still chooses to do so. That's what makes me, I think, disappointed in him most of all from all this.
The thing I'll say in his defense is that it's easy for us to say that with all of the complete information, but him with the incorrect information, which he desperately needs to be true for his own sanity. I think that his particular vantage point of the event, like might point him in that direction. I think that if he knew necessarily where that she was telling the truth and he was saying these things to try to I think he's just trying to make sense of all this, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, he unlike
not defend,
some,
not to defend Nick, right. I'm just saying in terms of that the person that the Chuck Klosterman quote on a villain is the person who knows the most and does the least. That's the villain. That Nick in this case, he might know the least.
Yeah, unlike some of the other people, Nick is under the assumption genuinely that Nicole has been playing him, and he's stupid for believing that.
Yeah.
But he does believe that. He thinks that Nicole has played him and manipulated him. He thinks that she was using those things to manipulate him. He talked many times prior to this moment about how he bonded with her because they both shared this thing, this anxiety thing. And so he is lashing out because he's hurt, and that does not justify what he does in any way, shape, or form. But it is definitely, I think, a different motivation than coming from somebody who is knowingly doing this to hurt somebody, even though they know they're innocent.
Right.
But yes.
Which is the case for some of the other people in the house.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's very much the case.
Okay. Taryn, let's get to some of the hot goss from today. Well, what's going on with Nick and Bella? Are they on the rocks?
Well, so you kind of have to flash back a few days, or really since the beginning of the season. Nick had always started talking about that he, you know, he's kind of into Bella, really into Sis, but he wasn't sure if Sis liked him back.
Even with the sweaty pits?
Okay, I'll be back. I need some deodorant. I think my pits are sweating a little bit.
They were shading.
It's a moment like that, Taryn, that makes me feel like that these editors and production might have some of the same contempt for these people that the people that follow them on the live feeds do.
Yep. They're listening to us.
Yeah.
Not this podcast, but just the online community in general.
Yeah, you don't know.
So he has always been into Sis, but he wasn't sure. He's always been flirting with her. She's always been flirting back. But eventually, it kind of came out that she was into Jack. And so he's like, well, that makes sense. He's a hunk. I'm me. And so he, you know, kind of went all in with Bella. And now Bella has had her own situation where she essentially lives with a person who she says, she said he's under the, or this person is under the assumption that they're in a relationship and that all her stuff is with this person. And
Bella has a complicated relationship that's not entirely based in truth and trust. That's so weird.
Yeah, so she was a little hesitant to get into this in the first place, but they eventually both went all in. But Bella still maintains a lot of insecurity, or retains a lot of insecurity because of how Nick looks at Sis and flirts with Sis. And so she's been saying over the last few weeks, she said to Tommy a few days ago, you know, Nick came in and he was just like, hey, what's that? What's that? And then he kissed her and Tommy's like, oh, you guys are so cute. And Bella was just like, I just don't know if he actually, I don't know if he likes me.
Mm.
And I was like, what? She's like, never mind. But that's clearly been an insecurity that's been with her for a while. And so, so she actually confronted Nick about this today because he was once again today, earlier in the day, like really hardcore snuggling and flirting with Sis. And so she's
newly single in the house, correct?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, Jax tried to break up with her a few times. So it's, you know, it's complicated there as well. But so Bella confronted Nick. She said, like, you watch her on the HOH screen for hours and you talk about her all the time. And Nick is just like, we're just flirting and stuff. And she's like, well, don't do that. I don't like it. And he's like, I will completely stop it then. She's like, I also don't like it when you kiss people in the cheek. And he's like, what, like Christy? And she's like, yeah, I don't like that. And he's like, what? I kiss people. I kiss anyone on the cheek. It's Christy. Come on. And so there's, it lasted a long time, like all the way through the episode. And I think they were still doing it while we were podcasting.
Oh, wow. So that's like an unorthodox amount of time then.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Nick.
I was writing in my notes that, what a tease here with Nick and this HOH in this episode. It was like he got us all worked up, Mike, and then did not deliver.
Wow. Who'd have thought Dr. Two Pump would have us stymied on actually bringing it home for a hot second? I thought for a second, actually, the nominations came so late in the episode, I legitimately thought we were going to get a to be continued. Like, it was going to be a moment where Nick's like, this changes everything. What's going to happen? And then they actually don't show the nominations. Yeah. So they really want to build it.
That's like a Keith Sowell going to the edge of extinction.
Get that. Come on, Grodd. Come on.
Come on.
I feel like maybe they can pull that off if it doesn't end with a Cliff and Jess nomination.
Right. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, no chance of Nick changing his mind. He's 100% locked in on Nicole going up tomorrow.
He's very locked in. Now, Six Shooters have expressed some concern that if Nick finds out about their plan before the veto ceremony, he might catch wind of it and try to backdoor one of them. But like I said, they have the numbers regardless of what Nick tries to do at this point. So even if he did try to backdoor them, Cliff would still go home. Things are looking very bad for Cliff. The only way that Cliff stays is if things somehow turn back around on Nicole, which is slightly possible because Nicole is still trying to work Nick and in various angles to prevent herself from being put on the block in the first place. If Six Shooters catches Nicole being too cozy with Nick still, they may change their mind about who they send home. But for right now, it does seem pretty locked in that Cliff is going to be sent home.
Okay.
And I think what complicates the matter, though, is that it seems like Bella and Nicole are pretty much like persona non grata, right?
Yes. Exactly. And part of Six Shooter's plan is that they're not even going to tell Nicole that they're going to keep her. They are essentially going to be like, sorry. And they're not going to tell her that they believe her until after the eviction, when they keep her and it's a 6-4 vote or whatever it's going to be. And they're going to be like, hey, Nicole, we believed you all along. We just couldn't let anyone know about it.
That seems like a mistake to wait until after the eviction to tell her what you're doing.
Look, it's their plan. I don't even think they'll stick to it because it is such a bad plan.
Yeah.
But if they do, we'll see.
Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else that you want to share with us before your next live feed update tomorrow morning?
I mean, well, we were talking about, you know, Tommy and Christy and how dominating a position they're in. And, you know, when I talk about Christy being the most influential, Tommy being in the best spot, I think one of the greatest examples of this is that Tommy has become the official mediator / like babysitter, / whatever in any conversation that is remotely contentious. So, for example, when Nick was talking to Nicole, Tommy was there to mediate. Mm-hmm. When Nicole was talking to Bella, Tommy was there to watch over, to supervise. When Nicole was talking to Christy, Tommy came in and supervised. And now, now Nick won't talk to anybody without Tommy being there. Tommy, the person that wants Nick out next week, is actively working to take him out of the game. Nick is like, oh, I'm sorry. Can we get Tommy in here? I just want to make sure that he supervises and that nothing is going to get nothing shady is going to happen in this conversation. So Kemi today asked Nick, hey, can we talk? And Nick was like, absolutely. Hey, Tommy. Come here. And Tommy sat in on the Kemi and Nick conversation. It is literally impossible for anybody to get through to Nick about the fact that Tommy is gunning for him because Tommy's involved in every single conversation that Nick has. He's literally like, it's like some weird combination of the buddy system from Redemption Island, but voluntary, and like Code Red from season 15, Andy Heron. But like, they, instead of Andy just like forgetting something in the room and walking in there, it's they invite him in. Hey, mm-hmm. hey, Andy, can you just come in and listen to us for a sec? It's ridiculous.
I love it. I love the BB notary is the new strategy. Like, we can't yes. validate this conversation until Tommy comes in and let us know that this is okay.
The call is coming from inside the house. It's Tommy.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, anything else you want to say regarding Big Brother 21?
I mean, I think any random thoughts I have, I'll reserve for when the RHAP B&B makes a return appearance with myself, Liana Boris, and we'll be joined by Matt Liguori for our inaugural Big Brother 21 podcast. I'm sure we're going to have a lot to get into.
Comeback person back in the game.
Yeah, I do feel like...
Comeback kid.
I do feel like after this eviction, it's sort of like phase one of the game will be done. And I think that hopefully we can all sort of move on from there. You know, and there certainly are things to talk about into bigger and brighter pastures. But what I will say is, you know, I think that while watching some of these actions on the feeds can be really disheartening and saddening sometimes, it's getting to tune into you guys talk through all this nonsense that honestly I speak on behalf of myself and hopefully all the fans, like, really lifts our hearts. It's more delicious than a nice Cinnabon cooked medium rare. So thank you guys for all that you do, and thank you for having me on.
Okay, all right, be on the lookout for the RHAP B&B coming up as well. Of course, Taryn will be back with the live feed update tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Taryn will also have be driving the truck on Wednesday night when we see Caitlin host the veto competition. I am going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for our Robin Akiva Need a Podcast live show with the people that are coming out to see us in Minneapolis, Minnesota on Wednesday night. So I will not be with you live on Wednesday night, but I will be back on Thursday night with Caitlin here in the studio for the live show on Thursday. Also, we have the LFC roundtable coming up as well on tomorrow night. Taryn, what do people need to know for the LFC roundtable?
Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we will have the roundtable, the third one of the season. I will, of course, be sending out the survey for that ahead of time in the morning after the morning update. So if you want to rate these players and give your opinion on the season and all of that stuff, it's a lot of fun, and I feel like it's a great outlet sometimes. So feel free to take part in that and take part in everything that's going on there for the season. And of course, you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, where I go live often and talk about what's happening on the feeds as it happens. We hang out and watch the feeds together and then do all sorts of fun stuff. So
sure.
Can I make a bold prediction? And I don't want to do any insider trading, but for the stock watch, I have a hunch that by the end of all this, I think Bella is going to have the lowest average price of any person in Stockwatch history.
We could have a real crash in the market coming up for this week. All right. Of course, you can follow a Mike Bloom type on social media. Mike, what do you have going on these days?
So Survivor South Africa, as mentioned, is going strong. We just hit the merge episode and dun, 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 dun. Breaking news. We got the Kool-Aid man himself, Rick Devins, in. He is fresh on the scene of International Survivor, and he is loving it. So it was really fun to get to talk to Rick. He brought his textbook energy into our conversation to break down a very fun episode. Josh Wigler and I have been covering Stranger Things, which has been a ridiculous amount of fun. We should have episode 6 coming out tomorrow, episode 7 Wednesday, episode 8 Friday, and then something very special planned for next Monday, and a couple of other things in the hopper as well. And hopefully, with Kent Comeback ceasing to exist, I'll hopefully get some exit press going for this season of Big Brother, so you can always follow Parade.com for all the catch-up with these house guests as they leave the house over the course of this season.
Okay, be on the lookout for all of that, and looking forward to seeing some of you in Minneapolis, Minnesota this week for our Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast live show. Thanks so much for Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.